In the holy name of Jesus, amen. If you read the October newsletter last month, you know that we're starting a new stewardship series for the next 3 weeks, talking about why we give, what we give, and how we give. We're entering into this sermon series not because the church is in trouble financially. Rather, it's because of the great opportunities that the Lord continually presents to us. And with the inclusion of new members and their families, and a talk about improvements to the building for future generations, and other potential future mission opportunities, it's important that we be reminded by our Lord about the Christian life of stewardship. So today we're going to talk specifically about the why. Why do we give? Why has this been a part of the Old Testament church, and why has it been continued into the New Testament? Why in the world did Jesus talk about money so much? Put starkly, Jesus talks about it so much because he knows how much a sinful human heart idolizes it. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus puts man's relationship with money in stark terms. Our Gospel reading today says, "If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth," that is, in the earthly wealth you have, "who will trust you with the true riches," that is, the riches that you can't count in dollars. It's heavenly riches that you have by faith. Jesus goes on to say, you cannot serve God and money. Then in Matthew's gospel, Jesus said, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Or just before Jesus said this, he confronted the rich young man who wanted to know what he must do to enter into eternal life. And Jesus pointed out the one idol the man had, his life, his money. Jesus said, if you would be perfect, go, sell what you possess and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. Now, Jesus' point about stewardship isn't to say that we're commanded to sell everything that we have and give it to the poor. Well, not really. We'll talk more about this in the weeks to come. But rather, stewardship is about getting our priorities straightened out. What is life really all about? How do I operate my present life in order to reflect that? Said another way, Jesus isn't after your money. He's after your heart. But at times, it might seem like that he's after your money. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Luke 12:34. God wants you to love, fear, and trust in him above all things. He wants you to fear losing him more than losing your possessions or money. He wants you to look forward to reading your Bible and praying and coming to church. He wants you to look forward to these things more than spending your dollar on fast, fleeting dopamine hits of happiness. He wants you to trust in the eternal dwellings he provides for you, rather than becoming enslaved to the pursuit of wealth now. trusting that your dollar will give you what you will eat, drink, and wear. He wants you to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness first. It's as C.S. Lewis says on the welcome statement on your bulletin, God wants all of you, not just 10%, not half, not 95%. He wants all of you, your whole being. That's the preliminary step to the question, why do we give? But is our giving merely beneficial from keeping us from idolatry? What other reasons could there be for giving? Well, reason number one, giving honors God. Giving is an act of faith and devotion, demonstrating who you really trust. Giving to the church honors God, because supporting this place is to support the life-giving, forgiving, gracious Word of God distributed here and in this community. Our introit from Psalm 24 tells us the most important thing to remember about money and the things that money can buy. It says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, in the world and those who dwell therein. This is to say that everything on earth belongs to God. It's his, not ours. Therefore, we own nothing. Rather, we're managers of God's gifts. So if God commands our alms and tithes, it's less like we're giving our stuff to God. Rather, a better way to understand it is that our gracious God lets us use 90% of what we have. After all, everything we have is his. So if he asks for 10%, as he does in the Old Testament, we're just returning it back to him something that's already his. It's sort of like the parable of the talents. When the master went away, and when he returned, those who worked those talents weren't giving back to the master their stuff. Rather, they were returning back things that already belonged to the master. However, they used the master's possessions to bear more fruit. And so that's what we're called to do, to put our money to work for kingdom purposes. So when the Lord commands for tithes and offerings, it shouldn't be a burden. Out of faith and devotion to God, we should engage in this act of stewardship joyfully. Our giving should come from a cheerful heart that recognizes that God knows us best. He wants us to free ourselves from our idols and use some of what we have to help others. In that way, our giving honors God. As Proverbs 3 verse 9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all you produce. And that's reason number one we give. Because it honors God. Because it recognizes who all this belongs to and how God lets us use it out of his own fatherly divine goodness. Reason number two we give, because your brother or sister in Christ needs it. Our reading from Proverbs says, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come again, tomorrow I will give it, when you have it with you. And who specifically are we to give to? Time and time again, the Christian community tends to share wealth within itself. For example, Acts 2, 44 through 45 says, "And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need." This sort of communal activity of sharing as one who had need became a defining Christian ethic in the early church. They took seriously Jesus' teaching from the Sermon on the Mount. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. Luther puts it well within a reasonable limit, so that we aren't overwhelmed by the people we're obligated to serve as soon as we walk out of our doors. He says, "Christ is not telling me to give what I have to any scoundrel that comes along and to deprive my family of it or others who may need it and whom I'm obligated to help." So, of course, we're obligated to those we have responsibility over, like feeding our families first. And then giving, and then having some for the church and for others who are part of the family of Christ. But we must recognize in all this, where the Lord has given us excess, there the Lord has given the opportunity to search to help those in need. But is this a part of one's tithe to the church? If you look in Scripture, this sort of giving is different from a tithe given to the Lord. In the Old and New Testaments, they gave tithes to God. But then God commanded another amount, separate from God's 10% tithe, to be given to those in need. Historically, this is called almsgiving. Almsgiving is any food or money given to the poor. And so our food pantry is a type of almsgiving operated by our church. God gives this command for us to do this in Deuteronomy 15, 7 through 8. "If among you one of your brothers should become poor in any of your towns within your land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart or shut your hand against your poor brother. But you shall freely open your hand to him and shall generously lend him sufficient for his need and whatever he lacks." I know this all sounds complicated, but perhaps here's an easier way to view it. We spend money on the things we need and the things we love. God commands us to love him and our neighbor in that order. And since the Christian knows they need the gospel and loves the gospel, the Christian will spend their money appropriately to support the mission of the gospel. And that's really why we give. We give to God and to each other because we love God and each other. We don't give to create a saving faith in us. We give in response to God's gracious and forgiving favor to us through his son, Jesus. Next week, we will go into more depth about what we give, which includes way more than just money. And we'll start talking practically about stewardship as well. But before we know what we give and how we give, it's important to have a great understanding of why we give. So let us depart free from our idols and dedicate ourselves once again to using God's stuff for love shown to him and to each other. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.